for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, May the 23rd, 1992. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the teacher of the evening.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand. Hallelujah. I'm just glad to be here tonight. Praise God. Me too. How many sleepy tonight? How many's tired? Well, let's deal with it now. Let's come against sleepiness and tiredness here. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come against all slumber and sleepiness and tiredness in the bodies, Lord. We ask rejuvenation and strength in the bodies here tonight, Lord God. Touch everyone, we pray. Minister life to their bodies. We thank you for that, Lord. We give you the honor and praise for rejuvenating us, Lord. Thank you for divine energy and health and strength in all your people here, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Bless your name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. How many feel like you've been through some storms lately? How many believe you're becoming victorious over some storms? Amen. I wrote something down in my Bible here. You know, there were three men in the boat. One was Jonah. Number two was Paul, and the third was our Lord Jesus. Jonah means a dove. Paul means little one. Jesus means Savior. And Jonah was in the boat out of the will of God. Paul was in the boat in the will of God. And Jesus, our Lord, is the will of God. And Jonah was overwhelmed by the storm. Paul was put in charge in the storm. And Jesus controlled the storm. Hallelujah. How many know we need to control some storms? Amen. By the power that dwells in us. Amen? Praise God. Let's turn tonight to some scriptures. I want to give you a few scriptures before we go into a few of these ites. How many has ever studied on the ites? How many know the ites are real tonight? They're real. But I believe God's raising up a remnant that's beginning to see some things in the Lord. Can you say amen? And you know, a remnant is not a quality item always for sale. How many know that's material in the natural that's left over? And it's not a popular item. Not everybody's, you know, running in the stores and getting the remnants. It's odd-shaped. How many know God's got a lot of odd-shaped people? And we're a part of it. Isn't that right? But thank God, I want to be part of that remnant. And I looked up that word remnant. It means a small fragment. And it means an unsold end of piece, or goods of cloth. But it means a surviving trace, or that which remains. Well, I believe he's got some survivors, hallelujah, in the earth. And I believe there's a people destined for the throne, amen? Praise God. Turn to Job tonight, and let's touch. I really enjoyed the ministry of our brothers and sisters this afternoon, and the others we've heard, and I thank God for all the ministries. I thank God for all the ministries. Turn to Job chapter 5, there are roots in our lives that we have to deal with. And let's just touch a few of these roots before we go on the ites tonight. Job chapter 5. I can't even find Job. There it is. Job 5. Now look at verse 3. Job said, I have seen the foolish taking root. So foolish, if I can say this, foolishness is a root. And I looked the word foolish up, and it means silly or perverse. And how many know that we have to deal with foolishness in our lives? And that's a root. And I don't know about you, but I used to like the kid a lot, and I still do, and I get in trouble sometimes for it. But he said, I've seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. So foolishness is a root. Then I want to turn to 1 Timothy 6:10. I want to just touch these roots before we go into those ites. Lord, spoke to me to do this. 1 Timothy 6:10, and look at this root here. And I know it's a big one, and we all have to deal with it. For the love of money is the root, come on, of all evil. Not money, but the love of it. which while some coveted after, they have erred or been seduced from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So there is a root, which is the love of money. Then we go to Hebrews 12:15. Hebrews 12:15 in the scriptures. And here's the third root I want to bring out. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root, come on, of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. How many know there are transference of spirits? And if we have bitterness, it'll be transferred to others. Isn't that right? It will spring up, it'll defile us, spring up, but yet it'll defile many others. Then we go over to Isaiah 5:24. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 24 in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 5:24, and it says this. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. And that word rottenness actually means a stench. And their blossom shall go up as dust because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. And they can see that if we despise His word and His law, a root of rottenness or stench or that which stinks can take hold of us. Come on, help me now. Amen? And then if you go to Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, here's one more, which it goes along with one in Hebrews, but Deuteronomy 29, let's look at this one real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 29, and look at verse 18. And Moses said, lest there should be among you man, woman, family, tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations. That's those seven nations now. Lest there should be among you, come on, a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And that word wormwood means a curse, or accursed, or that which is poison. And the word gall means it's like a poisonous plant, or poppy. How many have ever heard the word poppy? And it also means the poison of a serpent or the venom of a serpent, and its bitterness as well. So tonight, before we go into these seven nations, I want us to begin to deal with ourselves on foolishness, on the love of money, on the root of bitterness, and anything that's rotten in us. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's stand to your feet again. Come on. And let's deal with these things. Heavenly Father, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come in your name, desiring to be clean, desiring to be delivered. And so, Lord, we come against the spirit of foolishness, silliness, jesting. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of foolishness to loose me in the name of Jesus. Let her go now. Let her go. Come on, take a deep breath and let her go. All foolishness, all silliness and perverseness in the name of all jesting in the name of Jesus. We command you to loose the people of God here in this place tonight in the name of Jesus. All right, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me for the love of money, for covetousness. I ask you to forgive me of bitterness. Forgive me of anything that's rotten in me. A stench in your nostril. Forgive me for the spirit of wormwood that brings a curse. And so in the name of Jesus, I command the love of money and covetousness and greed and lust to loose me. And all bitterness and all gall, all wormwood, loose me now in the name of Jesus. Come on, take a deep breath and let her go. Come on, let it go in Jesus' name. All bitterness, all revenge, all hate, all retaliation, all murder, all resentments in the name of Jesus. Loose the people of God here in Jesus' name. Let it go. Let it go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many know there's a warfare when you're dealing with spirits? You know, they come to wear you out. They come to cause you to be tired when you begin to battle with spirits. Then there's the soulish prayers we have to battle through. How many of you have to battle through some of that? Amen? I had to battle through that the day I come here, Wednesday. I felt that spirit was coming at me from different ones. We have to forgive them, don't we? But we have to battle through those things. Isn't that right? And so we know there's a sifting. There's a lot of things that we have to battle through. Now, I want us to turn over to the Scriptures again, and I want to go into some things here as the Lord directs me now. Look in Deuteronomy 7. We'll start there. I want to give you three Scriptures starting off tonight as we go into these ites. Deuteronomy chapter 7, I believe it's 7, and verse 1. And we read this the other night, and he's dealing with all seven ites here. And we know the ites came from the loins of Ham over in the book of Genesis. How many's ever read that? Ham was the son of Noah. Now, he mentions all the ites here in verse 1, but notice the last part. And he said, these seven are greater and mightier than thou. These seven nations, God says, are greater than you, Israel. And how many know tonight, again, in ourselves, we're no match for the enemy. It's only in the name of the Lord and in His power that we can overcome every enemy. Isn't that right? And I believe that we all have to look at ourselves tonight. And because the Lord, I believe, was speaking to me there about pride. How many know pride can come in? And pride can destroy us. You know, when Jesus said this, He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. And we see that in the book of Revelation. He is going to come totally down to the earth. We know that in this end time. But Jesus said, I saw him fall from heaven, and those seven had just returned, saying, Lord, the demons are subject to us in your name. And I believe Jesus inserted that for several reasons. And one is, I believe he said, look out for pride. And I don't care what minister we have, what we can do in the Lord, we've got to all keep checking our hearts. Can you say amen? We've got to all look inwardly and not allow pride to come in, because it will destroy. Because many men that God has used in the past have been destroyed because of pride. Can you say amen? Amen. I believe that. So we have to guard our hearts. Now, let me give you this number two scripture. Joshua 9 and verse 2. Here's another scripture I want us to see. Chapter 9, verse 2. It says that they gather themselves together, that's these nations, to fight with Joshua. I mean, oh, he's a picture of Jesus. I mean, oh, these spirits hate Jesus. They hate you. And with Israel, with one accord. So these seven nations were in one accord against the people of God. And we know those spirits tonight are in one accord, come on, against God's people. Isn't that right? Well, it's time that you and I get in one accord against them. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Isn't that right? Then Joshua 11:18. Let's look at this scripture. Joshua 11:18. Joshua 11:18. Joshua made war a long time with those kings, all those kings. And there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, inhabitants of Gibeon. All others took they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to do something, to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them. Why does God let the enemy come at you? That to show himself strong, and that our enemies be defeated and put under our feet. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. Hallelujah. Now look in Judges 2. I'm just kind of laying the foundation here. Judges 2. Judges chapter 2. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. There's five ways you're tested. And one of the five ways you're tested is that God leaves some of the enemy in your land to see what you're going to do about it. Now, how many know we've got some enemies in our land? Jesus will not return from heaven till all enemies are put under his feet. How many know he's the head tonight, and he's got a feet company arising? Can you say amen? Not enough to see revelation and insight and discernment and all that. That's good. But how many know somebody's got to walk in it? Moses saw the promised land, but Joshua walked in it, didn't he? Now here in chapter 2, verse 20, it says, notice, brethren, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He said in the last part of verse 20, you've not hearkened to my voice. Verse 21, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them, through those nations, I may prove Israel. God was using those nations to prove his people. And God's using the enemy to prove you. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Praise God. So we have some enemies we've got to drive out. God's allowing the enemy to do what he's doing. How many know the enemy can only do what God says he can do? How many believe that? Amen. I believe that. Yes. Okay, turn over now to the book of Genesis. To the book of Genesis chapter Look in chapter 6, 10, chapter 10, verse 6. How many know the curse of Ham came on Canaan? The father was told this curse would come on Canaan because Ham saw the nakedness, come on, of his father's body. Isn't that right? I can't prove it. Many believe it was actually a homosexual act. I can't prove it from the scriptures, but and the King James, but nevertheless, whatever it was a curse that came on the son. And we know there was perversion in all those seven nations, uncleanness, ungodliness. And in verse 6, the sons of Ham, notice, are Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And if you'll count on down from right verse 6 on down to verse, on down here to what, 10 or 11, 9 or 10, Nimrod, there's 13 generations. From Ham to Nimrod's 13. Now, 13 is the number of rebellion. How many know that's Bible? The dragon is mentioned 13 times in the book of Revelation. When Ishmael was born, how many know it was 13 years before God ever talked to Abraham again in the scriptures? Do you know that? I can show it to you. There's many 13s we could go into here. But from Ham to the man down here in verse is it? Let's see here. Nimrod, verse 9. There is 13 generations. There's one or two mentioned a couple times, but there's 13 generations. Let me tell you what the word Nimrod means. It means rebellion. That's what his name means. And it means a despot or anarchy. And four times in the Bible, he's called a mighty one. Did you know that? Four times in the scriptures, he's called a mighty one. Look down here in the chapter now. Look in verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Notice that. And he was a mighty hunter. Now notice, first of all, he begins to be a mighty one. Then it says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And I don't believe that hunting there is like killing rabbits and squirrels. But I'll tell you, he was a hunter of souls. Hear me now. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now Babel has two names. It means confusion, but it also means the gate of God, which means religious confusion, if I can use that term. Can you hear what I'm saying tonight? Hallelujah. Then if you'll go over with me to the book of Chronicles, I want to show you something else here about this man. First Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. I want to give you another scripture on Nimrod here real quick. First Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. I hope you have your pencils out, and we'll get these scriptures down tonight. Thank God for the Word of God. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 8 and 9. I believe it is. Praise God. I'm sorry. It's chapter 1. 1 Chronicles 1, 10. 1 Chronicles 1, 10. And Cush begat Nimrod. And notice, he began to be mighty upon the earth. Now, another paraphrased edition says this. Now, I want you to hear this paraphrase. This is what it says. Cush begat Nimrod, who began to prevail in wickedness, for he slew innocent blood and rebelled against Jehovah. Can you see that? Can you hear that? Amen. So, he was a mighty one. He struggled for preeminence. He was a mighty hunter because he was out for souls. Now, how many know when Israel went into battle, they had to take something with them? What was it? Who can tell me? The Ark of God. Isn't that right? They had to take the presence of God with them when they went in battle. How many know we better not go in battle without the Ark of God? Without the presence of God. Isn't that right? I've seen people get hurt and get hit in battle when God didn't lead them into battle. How many know we've got to be led into battle by the Holy Ghost? Amen. And so the Ark went with them, led them into battle. And we go in to win. We don't go in to compromise or lose. We go in to win. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. But you know, when there's battles, there's many casualties, there's many wounded, and some even die. But I don't want to be a casualty. I want to learn how to war in the Spirit, and I want to come out victorious in His name. How about you? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, let's go over in some scriptures. Go over with me now to 2 Samuel. I want to touch on the first ite. The first ite I want to deal with is the Jebusites. The Jebusites. So we want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. How many know David was anointed three times as king? And this is the Third anointing. He was anointed with the anointing of promise first. Then the anointing of praise because he was king over Judah. And then he was anointed with the anointing of power. And that's when he became king over all Israel. And then it said all the Philistines came out against him. And you know, the higher you go in the anointing, the more enemy you're going to have. But the more power you have to overcome. Can you say amen? Now, notice here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David. And notice to Hebron. Hebron means fellowship. And spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. How many know that's New Testament, the book of Ephesians? Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. David, here's a picture of Jesus. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel, and the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. Paul said in Hebrews that Jesus is our captain. Can you say amen? And then in verse 3, we see that David was anointed king over Israel. Verse 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. Jesus was 30 when he began his ministry. And he reigned how long? 40 years. How many know 40 is tribulation? Amen. You don't believe it, you study on the number 40. Now, look down in verse 6. Look down in verse 6 now. It said, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem. How many know Jerusalem's real today? Praise God. I mean, not just the city of Jerusalem. How many know we're Jerusalem too? Amen? They went to the city, though, here of Jerusalem, unto the Jebusites. I want you to notice that. They went where the Jebusites are. And the inhabitants of the land which spake to David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither. Well, that's like telling a tank you can't go down the road, isn't it? Because David was a mighty man. And he had his mighty men with him. And so the Jebusites said, you cannot come in here except you take away the blind and the lame. Look at verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. How many want to go to Zion tonight? How many know there is Israel, there's Jerusalem, and there's Zion? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. There is the land, the city, but there's the temple. Now, David took the stronghold of Zion, but not without war. And if you're going to go to Zion, if you're going to climb the hill of Zion, it Bill sings, which in Revelation says they were standing on Mount Zion in Revelation 14, there's going to be a warfare. Amen? How many believe that tonight? Amen. Praise God. You've got to be a David. You've got to be a warrior if you're going to overcome the Jebusites. Now, what's in Zion? It is the government of God. It's the very authority of God that God is giving to his people. And so David here has to go in and take the Jebusites. Now, the word Jebusite means it means tread her down. Tread her down or trample underfoot. There's somebody wants to put you under their foot. There's somebody wants to conquer you. That's what Jebusite means, to put you under their feet. Amen? Now, this spirit of the Jebusite is a mocking spirit. It is a spirit of ridicule. How many's ever had to deal with that? Come on, help me now. It is a mockery spirit. How many know coming with mockery is blasphemy? And cursing with the spirit of mockery. And so they were literally mocking David here and saying, you can't come in here unless you take away the blind and the lame. And so it's a spirit of ridicule. How many know that spirit will attack you with fear? It will cause you and make you feel inferior. How many know that's a spirit? You know, God didn't put us down. The enemy puts us down. Isn't that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, David had just been anointed again with this third anointing. And the word anointing means to pour on. It means to smear on. But it also means to rub in. How many know we need to get it rubbed in us? Come on, help me now. Praise God. So, Zion is the government of God. It is the throne of God, the authority of God. Now, turn to Acts 13. Let's look at David here a minute. Acts 13:22 says this. And when he had removed him, that is Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. You want to take the Jebusites and kick them off of Zion's, in the realm of Zion, where you want to go, you're going to have to be a man after God's heart. Amen? Amen? You're going to have to be a man and a woman that will fulfill God's will. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to fulfill God's will. Now go to Judges 1. Go to Judges chapter 1 and notice, let me show you, two tribes could not defeat the Jebusites. Look in Judges chapter 1, verse 21. Judges 1:21 says this, and the children of Benjamin. How many know Benjamin means the son of the right hand? Huh? We claim to be sons. How many know we're going to have to demonstrate one of these days that we really are one? Come on, don't shut me down. That's true. We can claim all we want to, but how many know it's time to start walking some of it? Amen. The children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwelt, notice, I want you to see here, they dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. There was a mixture among the people there. Benjamin did not deal with the Jebusites. They did not drive them out. Then we look at another scripture with that in Joshua 15. Joshua 15, here's another tribe that did not deal with the Jebusites. Joshua chapter 15. Look at verse 63. Thank you, Jesus. 1563. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Jerusalem means it's a city of peace, but it means foundation of peace. As for the Jebusites, that it says here, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah. Now here's the praisers. Could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. What's it going to take to drive the Jebusites out? It's going to take that third anointing. It's going to take not just only the anointing of promise, not just the anointing of praise, but the anointing of power, hallelujah, that David had. Can you say amen? Praise you, Jesus. How many know the anointing will defeat every enemy? Praise God. It will break the back of every enemy. Can you say amen? Praise God. All right, so now the second we want to deal with, I'm just touching on some of these because if we stayed them, we could stay on one every night. But number two, the Hivites. And let me tell you what the Hivite word means. It means this. It means villager or encampment. Villager or encampment. And it's from the word Shabbat. It's from the word Eve. You think of Adam and Eve. It's from the word Eve, which means life-giving or living place. I mean, oh, this spirit. Now listen, this spirit of the Hivites takes what it wants regardless of who cares. Now listen to what I say. This spirit takes what it wants regardless of who cares. Now look in Genesis 34, and I want to show you this. Genesis chapter 34. And look at verse 1. Hope you got your Bibles. How many know you need a good Bible drill every once in a while, don't you? I find there are people who don't even know the books of the Bible. Time we need to memorize them. Isn't that right? Learn them. Hallelujah. Genesis 34, verse 1. Dinah, the daughter of Leah. Now here, remember, Leah is the wife of Jacob. And here's the daughter of Jacob now, which she bare to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. How many know it's not even safe for a lot of women to walk down the street today? Come on, help me now. We call America Christian. I want to tell you, brother, it's heathenism here in this country now. Come on. But God can turn it around if people start praying. Amen? Amen. Now, it's not even safe for men to walk down the street. How far, let alone women? Verse 2. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her. Now notice something. He took her. He just went and took her and lay with her and defiled her. How many know David did the same thing? The man that destroyed the Jebusites, he did the same thing. And in this spirit of the Hivites, of course, we see this adultery, a fornicating, a lustful spirit. And his soul. Now here's a soul tie. Look at verse 3. His soul clave to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly to the damsel. And then if you'll look down to verse 8, Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give him to wife. So this is a spirit of uncleanness. This is a spirit of fornication. It's a spirit of taking what you want. I mean, no, we can't do that. Can you say amen? Amen. It's uncleanness, adultery, whatever. Soul ties established. How many know that'll defile you? There's defilement there. There's a lot of things we could go into. Amen? Now look over in Joshua 9. Joshua 9. Joshua 9, look at verse. We read verse 2 a while ago. In Joshua 9, look at verse 3. It says, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what... Now, these Gibeonites are the Hivites. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they did work wildly. W-I-L-I-L-Y. What does that mean? That means trickery. It means guile. It means subtle, cunning, yes. There's a stratagem. There's craftiness. And so forth here. And notice it said they did work wildly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, which means messengers, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. I mean, you're talking about vagabonds. That's what they look like here. I mean, you know, there's a vagabond spirit in the church, too. You know, God sent me to Iceland to preach against the vagabond. But there's that we have to deal with that spirit in our life, don't we? I mean, old Cain became a vagabond. And with the vagabond spirit comes all other curses and comes, there's a curse, there's poverty, a lot of things. And the vagabonds never contented. It's from church to church, from preacher to preacher, come on, from job to job, from home to home, town to town, never settling down, no contentment. And old shoes and clouded upon their feet, notice, garments upon them, all the bread and so forth. Verse 6. They went to Joshua into the camp at Gilgal. Gilgal means going in circles. And they said to him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. They're lying, see, it's lying spirit. Now therefore make you a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, see that? Unto the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? Then go up to verse 11. Wherefore our elders and our inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victual, that's food with you for the journey. Go to meet them, say to them, we are your servants, therefore now make your league with us. I want you to notice, the Hivite wants to make a league with God's people. Okay? This is our bread, we took it and so forth. Verse 13, our bottles, and verse 14. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. The men took of their victuals, their food, and asked, this is God's people now, ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They believed that lie. They received the people. They ate of their food. They never asked God. How many know they was ensnared? They were deceived. How many know we can be deceived? Come on, amen? We can be deceived if we'll allow it. Isn't that right? Now look down to verse 22. And Joshua called for them and spake to them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us? So it's a beguiling spirit. Now, therefore, verse 23, you are cursed. So it brings a curse. This spirit has a curse on it. There shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. I mean, that was a strong statement. Amen. So in the scripture, we see that there is beguilement, there is flattery, there's a lot of things here. Now, I wrote this down. Once the spirit gets into where it wants to be, then it lets itself be exposed in order to live. That's what they did. They got in, then they was exposed, you see, of what they really were. Praise God. But it crept in with wrong motives. Isn't that right? Praise God. Now look in Joshua 11. Look in Joshua 11 and verse 3. Joshua 11 verse 3. And it says here concerning this Hivite. And to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite, Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite, notice, under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. Everybody see that? That word Hermon there, to me, is a prince. And this word Mizpah, it means watchtower, and I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses either. But the word Hermon, this is what it means. It means blunt, as to the nose. And it means abrupt or secluded. I mean, there's a lot of people who want to be secluded away from the people of God. Come on, amen? It means to be devoted to religion or destruction or accursed or have a flat nose. I've seen some I wish had one. Amen? Come on. And it means to slay. It means to slay. Amen. Now go to Genesis 36. Genesis 36. How many know a priest cannot have a flat nose? You know that? You can have a, what does that mean? That means disfigurement in the natural, but it means no discernment. No discernment. And back in the Old Testament, you got a physical disfigurement, you couldn't be a priest. Today, it's not the natural that keeps us from being priests. How many know it's spiritual disfigurements? But His grace and His blood covers. Amen? As we repent. Can you say amen? Genesis 36, 2. Notice. Esau took his wives. Notice. Now, Esau's a man of the flesh. He's the son of Isaac. He took his wives of the daughters of Canaan. I mean, oh, God forbade that. And notice, one was Ada, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. And then here's another one, notice, the daughter of, and she's a Hivite, the Hivite. So he married a Hivite. He married a Hittite. He married against the will of God. How many know there are people marry against the will of God? You know, parents are pretty smart. Sometimes kids think we're pretty dumb. But how many know that if some children would listen to the parents a little more, they wouldn't get in some messes? Come on. How many know some of us learned that lesson maybe back a long time ago, too? Isn't that right? We're all learning, aren't we? Praise God. I'm going to stop right here. Praise God. Who's got ear trouble here? I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. Whoever you are, stand right up. Maybe several of you. Praise God. Which ones? Just put your hand on your ear. What ear or both ears that's bothering you, okay? Reach your hands out to Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to these ears right now in the name of Jesus, and I command them to be well and heal in the name of Jesus. Satan, come out of those ears in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that deaf spirit. I rebuke the pain in these ears. I rebuke that now by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Nazareth, the Son of God. Hallelujah. The Son of the living God. In Jesus' name, I command those ears to be well, healed, and set free in His name. And I give you praise, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Give Him glory. Come on, give Him praise for it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look in Genesis 27. Look in Genesis 27, 46. 27, 46. And here's another verse. 27, 46. And it says this, and Rebekah said to Isaac. Now, here's a mother's heart. I mean, we feel what our children do. And here's a mother saying something. I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Well, let's go back to Genesis 10, 9. Let's look at these daughters of Heth. Let's turn back here just a minute. Go back to Genesis chapter... go back to Genesis chapter 10, verse 15. Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn in Heth, which means the father of the Hittites, and the Jebusites, Amorites, the Girgashites, and so forth. So that's where the name comes from. Now go back now to Genesis 27, 46. Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary. How many mothers ever feel weary? What your children do? Come on. You better believe it. Some of us fathers do too. I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Now, Esau had married into these races, but she was concerned that Jacob, you know, would not do the same. I mean, we better pray for our kids that they go the right way and marry the right mate. Isn't that right? We all had better pray that. Praise God, and I do. How about you? Thank you, Jesus. Now, look in 1 Kings. The next one I want to deal with is the Hittites. We'll touch on the Hittites. This word, Hittites, it means terror and violence. And we know that's hit our nation lately, hasn't it? But that's just the tip of the iceberg. How many know there's going to be a lot more cities burned? Come on. You think you've seen trouble? We hadn't seen trouble yet. But how many know God can cover us and protect every one of us? I believe that. There's no fear except fear itself. And I believe there's going to be people walking into the very fire itself and praying for people and winning people to the Lord. I do believe that. In the days to come. Amen? And I want to be one of them. Praise God. But this spirit means terror, or this word, terror and violence, or to break down by violence. To break down by violence. This spirit brings, again, grief of mind. Now look in Genesis 26 again. Genesis 26, I say again, but let's look there. 26:33. 26:33, we'll start actually in verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter this Hittite, And then another talks about a Hittite there in verse 34. Verse 35, which were a grief of mine. Which were grief of mine to Isaac and, come on, to Rebekah. I want you to see that. Praise God. So it brought grief to the mind. So this grief came in the parents' mind, and because of bitterness of spirit, because of this one marrying those particular races there. Amen? Now look in 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. Here's another startling thing. Someone marrying into these races. Chapter 11, and look at verse 1 and 2. But King Solomon loved many strange women. I mean, that was one of his downfalls. You got to watch out for the gold, the gals, and the glory. Amen? And the guys, too. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. I want you to notice that. He married Hittites. He married women in this race. King Solomon did. How many know they stole his heart from God? When we go contrary to the will of God, how many know we're going to lose our love for Jesus? Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, look over in Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. I know we're hitting a lot of scriptures, but you have to study on this subject. Judges chapter 1. I've never been one just get up and just mouth and talk. If it's not the Word, I'm not too interested. Hallelujah. It's the Word's going to set us free. Amen? How many know Jesus said, preach the Word? Praise God. It's the Word that God is drilling into my heart. Judges 1:22. Praise God. Judges 1:22. Notice what it says. And the house of Joseph, the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. Bethel means what? House of God. Praise the Lord. And the house of Joseph sent to decry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. Everybody see that? Now, I want to go over to, back here in Judges 1 here, this scripture. This word here, Adonai Bezek, whatever his name means. It means rule or controller. And notice they cut off his thumbs and his toes. And, of course, the thumbs is the work and the toes is the walk life. They cut that off. Praise God. And that's authority and power. He's immobilized now. And he's living in Jerusalem. What's Jerusalem today? Come on. It's the church. He's right in the church. They brought him to Jerusalem. He's held right in Jerusalem, but he's to die in Jerusalem. Amen. He's to be eradicated in Jerusalem. Can you hear what I'm saying? Praise God. And this controlling spirit, hear me, is in Jerusalem. How many know we have to deal with that in our own life? Jezebel, Nicolaitan, the dominating force. Amen. Manipulating, dominating is all kind of words we could controlling, whatever. This controlling, dominating spirit in the church is real today. Amen. Now, Jacob had a fear for this tribe, these Perizzites. I want to go into this in Genesis 34. Look over in Judges 3, verse 5. Judges 3, 5. I want you to see the mixture here. Judges 3, verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served, come on, their gods. How many know that's their demons? And Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you can read that in Ezra chapter 9. Let's just go read it. Ezra chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Ezra chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 in the Old Testament. And notice it says here, now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Amorites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed, how many know the devil always wanted the seed to be destroyed? Isn't that right? Always. And he tried to do it in many places in the Old Testament. Athaliah tried to do it by wiping out all her generation, but there was one they stole away and she didn't know about it. Isn't that right? Praise God. And notice, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands, yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. So they mingled themselves among the heathen, and God forbid it, because it would steal their heart from God, and they would go after other gods. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. I could show you that. Another scripture, I'll just give it to you. 2 Chronicles 8:8 is another one there on that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's touch the Amorites a minute here. Look in Genesis 15. This is one of the strongest spirits you have to deal with of all the tribes. Genesis 15. I'm going through this hurriedly because it is so much to teach. We just don't have the time tonight, but we're just touching on it. Genesis 15:16. It said, but in the fourth generation, talking about God's people, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So the Amorites speaks of iniquity. How many know there's iniquity drives in all of us? I remember Brother Johnson preached a message on iniquity one time, Glenn. Best message I ever heard preached on in our fellowship. You were there that time. Praise God. But this spirit of the Amorites speaks of iniquity. And yet God said, the cup is not yet full. It's not yet full. But when that happens, I'll bring you back into the land. I believe the cup is being full tonight of iniquity. Not only in the world, but in America. Amen? And when the transgressors have come to the fullness, it says in Daniel, then a king of fierce countenance will stand up who understands dark sentences. And so, I believe that the cup is being full. But we must be purged of all iniquity, all lawlessness and rebellion. It is the spirit of the Amorites. Now, the word Amorites means mountaineer or highlander or prominence. This spirit speaks of pride, it speaks of haughtiness, arrogancy, it speaks of boastfulness, it's the father, the father rather of pride is Satan. Leviathan is in people, that's pride, isn't it? Pride and presumption go hand in hand. Sometimes we presume many things. The very thing behind pride is presumption. Now, look in Numbers, I'm going to go to Amos, please. There's a tremendous scripture on the Amorites. I want you to see this if you haven't ever seen it. Praise God. I know some of you are tired tonight, but we'll finish here in just a little bit. Praise God. Amorites, the book of Amos, chapter 2. Amos chapter 2, verse 9. And notice what it said. Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of what? The cedars. I want you to notice that. Now, how many know a cedar is stately? It's strong. It's durable. It's got deep roots. It's tall, and it's got a good smell in the natural. And it's got life because it's green and strong as the oak, he says here. But we're talking about a spirit. He said, yet I destroyed the Amorites before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars. And he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit, notice, from above. How many know that's how we're going to do it? Get the power from above. And his roots, you've got to dig the thing out. You've got to get down to the very root of the thing. Isn't that right? How many know sometimes we're cutting off limbs and leaves and a few branches, but you've got to get down to the root. The axe is laid to the root of the tree, John the Baptist said. And notice, I destroyed his root from above and his fruit from above, his root from beneath. Also, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorites. Praise God. Took them 40 years to get there, but they got there. Can you imagine only 10 men kept them out of the promised land? 10 men kept 3 million people out of the promised land. That spirit was transferred from those 10 to those people. How many know that it can be transferred to us too and keep us out if we allow it? We cannot allow amen. Unbelief to come in. Can you say amen? Praise God. So, this spirit was dealt with here. Notice. I want to read it again. He was strong as the oaks, but I destroyed his fruit from above, his roots from beneath. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I believe the Lord's able to destroy every enemy we have. Amen? I could give you other scriptures on that in Deuteronomy and Numbers and Joshua, but I'm skipping over. Now, let's go over to one more. Canaanites. Turn to Joshua 5. Joshua 5, and I'll give you the meaning in just a minute. Joshua chapter 5. Praise the Lord. And notice verse 1. It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites which were on this side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of who? The Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. How many know there's some of them demons trembling tonight because they know they got to go? Hallelujah. How many know we have authority in the mighty name of Jesus? Neither was there spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. I mean, they were shaking in their boots, wasn't they? Hallelujah. That's where the devil ought to. He ought to shake in his boots. At the name of Jesus. Not at us, at the name of Jesus. He don't shake at us. He shakes at that name. Hallelujah. That powerful name. Can you say amen? Amen. Now look in Genesis 24. Let me give you another scripture. I've got to give you a couple of scriptures here. Genesis 24 on the Canaanite. And then I'll tell you the meaning. Genesis 24, verse 1. Notice what Abraham said. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. All things. God blessed Abraham. Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Well, he swore to Abraham. Hallelujah. He said, don't you take one of those daughters of the Canaanites for my son. Amen. God's got somebody better. Hallelujah. I mean, no, don't settle for seconds. Settle for the best. Amen. Praise God. If you need a husband and wife, settle for the best. Don't settle for the worst. Thank God. Now, the spirit of the Canaanite, here's what it means. Canaanite means, it means merchant or a trafficker or a peddler. And we know Jesus cleaned out the temple of God. He drove out the money changers. Remember that? At the beginning and at the end of his ministry. He said, God has not made this house a house of merchandise, really. But it was a house of prayer. He said, you've made it a den of thieves. You know what the word den means? It means a cave. What's in a cave? It's that which is dark. It's that which is cold. And it's where all the rodents are. Amen. And there's no life in there. You can't grow a garden in a cave, can you? No food where the bats and rats and all the other things are. Amen. I mean, old Joshua took these kings over here in the book of Joshua and put them in a cave. Hid them in a cave. I taught a lesson just recently. Don't hide in a cave. And but we can hide anywhere if we allow ourselves to. But Jesus cleaned out the temple. He said, my house will not be a den of thieves. Praise God. How many know this is a temple tonight? He don't want it to become a den of thieves. He wants it to become a house of prayer. Can you say amen? But I want to tell you again, the word means, now you got to hear what I'm saying. This word means merchant, trafficker, peddler. This spirit brings in the spirit of greed, spirit of lust, covetousness, and the love for money, which we dealt with and prayed for earlier. The Canaanite is one who stoops down and lays out his goods for display, seeking to entice men to buy his wares. And then I wrote this down. The devil's a Canaanite. He lays before us all the glory of the world, as it is to Jesus, that we might buy his goods at the price or at the expense or the loss of our inheritance. Amen? Now look in Zechariah 14. Praise God. Zechariah 14. How many's learning something tonight? Zechariah 14. That's what we want to happen. Zechariah 14. Somebody be dreaming of these scriptures tonight. Zechariah 14, 21. Last scripture in Zechariah. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein, and in that day, the day of the Lord, there shall be no more. Hallelujah. Everybody say no more.
No more.
We're already beginning to see God purge the church. Isn't that right? We're seeing ministers fall. I told somebody today, God said to me years ago, the stars are going to fall. And I tell you, we're seeing stars fall. But how many know we better pray that we don't fall? We better pray for those that have fallen. Be merciful. Isn't that right? And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house, come on, of the Lord of hosts. God is going to cut off the merchandisers. God's going to cut off that spirit. This is the gold, the glitter, again the glamour that has come in. And you know the Canaanites, They live by the seacoast of Jordan. And how many know there's a buying and selling? I'm not just talking in the natural, but how many know that, you know, you belong to certain groups, you can buy and sell. If you buy their, if what they believe, how many know if you can sell it? Amen? How many understand what I'm saying? If you buy their traditions or whatever, you can buy it and you can sell it to others. And so there's a real buying and selling, not just in the natural, but even in the realm of the spirit. Now, I want to close. I got one more to do. How many have I done so far? Five or six? Six. Okay. But I want to give you a scripture in Psalm 106 with that in mind. And then one more we got to deal with. I thought I was through here. Psalms 106, verse 32. Here's something else we see in the Canaanite race. Psalms 106. I dealt with it a little bit the other night, but I just want to read it tonight. Psalms 106. And I want to look at verse 34. Speaking of God's people. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled or mixed among the heathen and learned, come on, their works. And that work is destroying little babies, which we dealt with the other night. They served their idols, which is idolatry, which were a snare to them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to devils. That's what America's doing tonight. And shed innocent blood. That's what's happening with the abortion thing. And even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of who? Canaan. That's idolatry. And the land was polluted with blood. America's polluted tonight with blood. Thus will they defile with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. And then the wrath of God came upon them. And then there was some forgiveness. Praise God. Let's look at the Girgashites in closing tonight. This word, Girgashites, it's a hard word to find what it means, but here's what I come up with. It means dwelling in a clay soil, dwelling in a clay soil or marshy ground. Dwelling in a clay soil or marshy ground. And I want to look in Joshua 24:11 with one scripture here with this. 24:11. Joshua 24:11. Praise God. And it says this. And you went over Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against the Amorites, the Perizzites, notice that, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, there it is, Hivites, Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. Praise God. So God sent the hornets to drive out these different ones here. And we're dealing with the Girgashites here. Now, praise God. Let me tell you what this spirit does. I said it means no sure footing. It means dwelling in a clay soil. It means sinking earth. No foundation. Now, what does that mean? That means simply this. There is a spirit out to destroy the foundational ministry. As Jack said, there are many churches, many groups do not want apostles and prophets to come into the churches. Isn't that right? As well as even other ministries. And so this spirit is out to destroy the very foundation in your life and my life. And he's out to do it if he can. Listen, there are many people who do not have a solid foundation. You try to build that building without a foundation, how many know it's going to crumble? It's going to fall. We need a strong foundation under us. Amen. How many know he is the foundation? And yet we're built upon the apostles and prophets as well. The Bible talks about that foundation. Look at one scripture in closing in Psalms 11:3. Psalms 11:3. Praise God. Psalms 11:3. And notice what it says here. It says, brethren, in this verse, Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I find that many people have cracks in their foundation. And I find that sometimes we boast of what we have, but we get in a battle and we realize we don't have as much as we think we have. Can you say amen? Amen. When I was hit in 1970, let's see, 75, July the 4th, I was in Oklahoma. I was fine that day. In the afternoon, I was hit with depression. It hit me and knocked me to my knees. And I didn't realize what was in me. Although, we all have some kind of battles along the way. But that thing hit me, and it was just like I was losing my mind. How many has ever felt that? Come on. And so for 15 years, I had to walk through that thing and walk it out. And the enemy always said many times, you'll never get out of this situation. But I knew God was able to bring me out. Hallelujah. My trust was not in man. It was in God. Amen. But how many know there's a lot of lonely walks when you get in that, when you fight that depression. Isn't that right? There's a lot of things you battle in the mind. And we walk through that by the grace of God and by the love of God. He brought us through. Amen. And brought us out. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, I thank God for bringing me through. A brother came to me when I was in that test. I never forgot it. He said, the ship's going down, but there'll be no loss of life. So, I took it from God. Let the ship go down, but praise God, stay afloat. Amen. In the Lord. Can you say amen? Praise God. So, our walk life, our foundation's got to be sure. I'll say this in closing. You know, Moses took off his shoes. You know, the feet is, you walk on a foundation, don't you? Moses took off his shoes at his calling. Joshua took off his shoes in warfare. Captain met him to take him right in the land to fight against these nations. And the priests took off their shoes to worship. So whether it's our calling, whether it's warfare, or whether it's worship, we better have a sure foundation. Amen? Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to pray again. We're going to come against these spirits. Let's be honest and deal with ourselves. Don't look at the guy next to you. I mean, it's time to look at ourselves. And if you feel something coming up, deal with yourself. If you need help, somebody around there will help you. Amen? Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.